turn over in the book of Titus.
Sitting in for a little while. You know, I found it nowhere in God's word that he's asked us just to dry up. We can have a good time in serving the Lord. Well, matter of fact, I've had the best time of my life in serving him and being after I got saved. I really do. I have the best time in the world. Shoot, I can go anywhere. I'll go to the mall and hallelujah. If I hear something that's good going on, if I hear about somebody getting saved, I'll just go on and shout from the bottom of my stomach all the way up. The people will stop too, and they'll listen. Because why? You mentioned the name Jesus. And if you don't believe me, you go try it. They ain't going to escort you out. Well, big deal. If they escort me out, then they escort me out. I ain't no better than Paul. I ain't no better than Timothy, and I ain't no better than nobody else in God's word. So if I say, I'm not gonna do that. I don't want to offend nobody. But who are we? Defending. Who are we bringing a shame and a reproach to? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the individuals that I hear, they just are fly by night. The fly by nights can also be saved. Here in Titus chapter 3. Start with verse 1. And it says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and power, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. And they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogy and contention and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. a man that is an heretic after the first and second abomination rejected, knowing that he that is such is subverted, and sinners being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemius unto thee, and Tacharus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolians, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zion the lawyer in Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be warned unto them. And let our also learn to maintain good works for necessary use, that they be not unfruitful, or all that are with me salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Our Lord and our Savior, we thank you for the reading of thy word. Now, Lord Jesus, we ask now that you will take thy word, Father, and Lord, that you may take it and put it in on top of my lips, Father, and on top of my tongue, Father, that it may come out. And Father, that it may stir my own heart and stir my own soul, Lord. And Father, we pray, Lord, that will bring each and every one of us that's here today and tonight, Father, this evening, closer unto thee. Father, where we'll never be embarrassed, we'll never be ashamed of what you've done. And Father, we'll always be able to give you the thanks, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Over here in the book of Acts, chapter 9, we'll see where Paul was called Saul back then. We see where that he was obeying his master at that time. He was obeying what? He was obeying his lieutenant, manager, president, or whatever you want to call him at that time, because he had a job to do. We also have a job to do. When we go out on a job, we must remember that we took that job and we took it in a way that where, yes, under the circumstances that they give us at that time. But I know now, Lord, I know now, many years later, that they done away from, that I've done away with a whole lot of things, that I've done away where you can't even bring a New Testament Bible into the workplace. And you can't even pray over your meal in the workplace. Why? Because that's the time we're living in. Saul was also living in that time too, back then. But the same thing that happened to Saul can happen today. Can happen to the people that's out here in the world and doing what they want to do and saying they have all the time in the world. They have all the time in the world to get saved. That they can get saved whenever. They can wait until they get on the deathbed at the hospital and they get saved right then. But it don't work that way all the time. It don't work that way. The only way an individual can be saved is the drawing of the Holy Spirit unto Jesus. That's the only way an individual ever gets saved. They have to be under conviction. People today, they don't even know what conviction even means. Brother James Albert was telling me one time that it was an individual in his church. Hadn't been long, been saved by 3 or 4 months. But then he got in church and he stayed there. He was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all the revivals. He wouldn't even ask. And if Brother James went to a revival, he'd ask him, he says, "Can I go with you?" James says, "Sure, you can go." But he was looking for something. He was looking and trying to establish conviction for his own life. What conviction that God has given me may not be the same conviction that he will give you. I know today that there are plenty of people that they do things. And it don't bother them. It don't bother them to the point it would get them away from God. Some things I can't do. And I won't do. Why? Because God has touched my life. God has given me the conviction that I needed. And right here, Paul also realized too something. On the road, when he got on the Damascus Road, when he got off of that, the highway to hell, and when he got on that Damascus Road that would lead him into Damascus, where he was supposed to go and persecute the Christians, where he was supposed to go and to tear up the church and to try to do away with God. That's what Paul's intention was. That's what Paul's job was. The same way with Satan. That's his job. His job is to tear the church up. His job is to tear you up. His job is to defeat you. That is his job, devil's job. But Paul right then, he knew something. He knew something because he'd got off on the wrong highway and going to Damascus. There was two roads leading in to Damascus. One of them was the broad road where many could go by. Then it was a narrow road. And he got, like we do sometimes, we'll forget about it and we'll think, "I took the wrong turn. I took the wrong turn. I should have just waited and went on and went straight. But I went on and took the wrong turn." Paul was probably thinking about the same thing, that he'd made the wrong turn. But he also knew that he was going to Damascus. Where are we going? I'm going to heaven. That's where I'm going. I'm not going to turn on the wrong road. I'm not going to turn to Satan to carry me through. I'm not going to turn to nobody else to get me home. Hallelujah. Jesus is my pilot. He is my pilot. He's not my co-pilot. He is the one that is in control. I'm sitting behind him. I'm standing behind him. I'm walking behind him. And as he walks on, I must follow him. Because if I don't follow him, what's going to happen? I'm going to turn to Satan. I'm going to turn to the devil and everything the devil wants for me. And it won't be hard, I tell you. It won't be hard for the devil to take us. It wouldn't be hard for the devil to come and try to destroy me. Because the devil can make you look so good. He can make it look so good. Now I know that we have three men here and the rest of you ladies. But I want to ask you this question. I do not understand it, why they do it, but they do. But they will take a billboard idea to where some of the signs come apart. So they hinted that has somebody that's going to come in and advertise something. They want to advertise their product. You know who they're advertising for? For the devil. That's who they're advertising for. They're not advertising their product. Because if they were the advertising their product, they would have a very big picture of their product. You know what they're selling? They are selling the women idea. Because that's who they live on the billboard, and that's a disgrace to the human race. That is all they're interested in. They're interested in money. They're not interested in your soul. They're not interested in what they buy from you. They're interested so they can get you to come in and to purchase their product. Don't purchase their product. Don't purchase it. We have other places that we can purchase the same product. It may be a little more, but at least the individual is a Christian. At least the individual loves God. That's the ones that we need to support. We don't need to support the devil and his prayer. But we do. Why? Because it's cheaper for us. It's cheaper. You say, gee, if I go over there, and I know they got some good Bible for there, if I go over there, I'm going to pay $59.95 for the Bible. She goes, no. Yeah, I need more money. So, that guy gets $29.95. Who do I need to buy it from? I need to buy it from the Christian. I need to purchase it from the Christian because the Christian needs a way to live. And the reason we have all the Christian bookstores and all the Christian stores, the reason they close up, it's not because they can't sell it. It's because the so-called Christian won't buy it. They'll go purchase it from the devil. But Paul here, he knew what he had to do. Can you imagine being in Paul and Saul's shoes when he got on that road to Damascus? Can you imagine just being in his shoes? Just for a split second. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine being in his shoes at that time. Because no doubt Paul had a lucrative job. He was higher up because Saul at that time, and even Paul, he had learned, I think it was 7 or 8 different languages. And he could go, and didn't make a little who he meant. He could talk in his language. They spoke. And he could understand it. But we as people today, as Christians today, yes, we invite people into the house of the Lord, yes.
And then we get up there and we'll preach our heart out. And then when some individual back in the corner or back over here, somewhere like it, or start speaking in tongues. That's what they're doing. Hey, I speak all in the same language. They can't speak it because they cannot tell me what they're saying. And on top of that, why would I want to get up out and speak a bunch of jumbled mess and you not know anything about it? I could be up out. I could be chewing you out, chewing you up and down one side. You never know. We don't know what they do. One time, since I've been preaching, Brother Bill Sargent, he called me one morning and asked me, would I go out there to the Old Testament church? I mean, the New Testament church, New Testament Baptist church, right there off of 41. Since right now they don't have a pastor. And I was supposed to be out there this week to fill in. And there will be somebody there that will interpret for you. And he says, they're all messengers. He said, they're not asking for anybody coming in and try to speak the language. They just want somebody here to preach God's word. And I went out there. I didn't know what I was going to do. I'll be honest with you. Had no idea what I was going to do. I did say this. I said, Lord, it's going to be up to you. I said, I don't know if I've been leaving it up to you totally, but today I'm going to leave it up to you totally. I've got to, but I can't do it. I got there, you know what? That young man and I, that just had the week before surrendered to call it fruit. And he was a messenger. And they come up to me and they spoke to me in the broken English. And they said, we know that you're a preacher. We thank you for coming. But we have an individual here. The individual's about 22 or 23 years old. He said he just surrendered to the Lord. This past Sunday night, to preach the gospel to us, to the Spanish-speaking people. Now we know that they've got in touch with you. If you want to still get up there and if you want to preach, that's okay. We don't want to do anything at all that. Where God is going to be offended. I said, no. I said, let the young man preach. And I tell you, he got to be crazy. In our language, very little did I understand. But I know one thing. He done a fantastic job. He done exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted him to, because I felt the Holy Spirit in the I felt God. I knew God was there. But that was the only time that I've had to go out and do that like that. But I was willing to do it. I was willing to do it because why? because God called me to preach, just like God called me to preach. See, God does the calling. God does the calling upon the preacher and upon the pastor of the church. God Himself does that calling. You have a whole lot of individuals out here, they don't even know what the word calling means. Because you've got groups out here that are singers. And they're singers and they go out here and they don't work a public job. They go out here and they sing for a living. Now, I don't have no fault with that. I don't have no fault with that. But don't stand in front of me and tell me that God has called them to sing. Don't do that. Because God has not. Only thing that God has done, God has spoken to each one of us as Christians to do His work. But God does not call. He's got one and two callers. I say it's just one, but some in the Bible they say it's just two of them, but I am a fan of the other one, but that's all right, I ain't arguing with them. But I know that there's one caller. And that one calling is for the pastor of the local church, the under-shepherd. Paul knew that. But praise God, when Paul got on that road, hallelujah. When he got on Interstate Highway number one, on the Damascus Road. You know, we all have to come to the Damascus Road before we ever get to know Jesus. The Damascus Road will always lead to hell. But Paul, on that road, hallelujah. When that light come down, when the Spirit of God come down, in such a way that touched him and knocked him to the ground. Do you bring that guy's attention? Yes. I believe it would be. That'd be just like that bolt, all this thunder and lightning we've had. That bolt of lightning comes in and it hits me and knocks me on my feet, and I go to the ground. Don't you think that bolt of lightning ain't gonna get my attention? Paul's attention. And then Paul says, Lord, what must I do? That right there tells you that he already surrendered his life. He surrendered everything he had to the Lord. You know, I'm so glad. I really am. I'm so glad that I didn't have to go to no preacher. That I didn't have to go to no individual. Tell them, say, I don't know, but something's tugging at me. And I can't put my fingers on it. I'm so glad that I didn't depend on people. I'm so glad that I did not depend on the Baptist church. I'm so glad that only the one I could depend on was the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the only one I can depend on. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He's going to be there. He was there at the beginning. And He's going to be there at the end. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never fails us. He always comforts us through the Holy Ghost. And he trembled and astonished and said, Lord,
What wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Can you imagine just being there, and then all of a sudden, Paul hits the ground, someone's speaking to Paul, and Paul is speaking back to him, and then he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The men there, they stood speechless. They stood there in an awe. What's going on? What's going on? The Lord Jesus Christ has showed up. The Holy Spirit of God showed up. We needed to where the Holy Spirit of God wants to show up. We needed to where the Lord Jesus Christ is invited into the services. And I'm so thankful that I have a group of people that God has so graciously given me that I don't have to worry about if there's somebody sitting out there in the congregation that does not want the Lord to show up and does not want the Holy Spirit to show up and does not want anybody to get saved. I'm so thankful that the Lord allowed me here. It won't no accident. God don't make accidents. Like my daughter said, my daughter told me, says, you need to realize something. Them people down there, they love you. They'll do anything in the world you can for them. And I know you can do the same. She said, but do you think all the times that you was here at the house and you go preach here or there or somewhere like that, and then all of a sudden you'd go 6-8 months and then preach, but you still go and visit, you still go with Brother James. Don't you realize that God could give you a church a long time ago? But see, God, He knows what tomorrow is going to bring. He knows what next week is going to bring. He knows what next year is going to bring. And she says, Daddy, I know what I'm going to say now is not to hurt you. You in the shape that you're in right now, the sickness and that you're going through and what you're going through right now, you could not handle a great big church. And she's right. It would be hard for me. It really would. I'm not looking for a church. I'm not looking for another church. Somebody asked me here in the last week. They asked me, says, has anybody called you from Community Baptist Church? So don't make no. I said, but don't make no difference if it do. They can call me. And I'll see if I can win them to the Lord. If they ain't saved, maybe they'll get saved. I said, I'm not interested in going over there. I'm not interested in no other church. Only church that I'm interested in right now is Faith Baptist Church. Because God has put that on my heart. Same way with Paul. When Paul got saved there,
Paul turned around like he won't go into the city. And he was going in a new direction. But he still went on and went into the city. But he did not go in the city to close the church's name. He didn't go into the city to bring the people down. He went into the city to help people, to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, he had a backbone. Paul had a backbone. And you know God was with him. He had to be with him. Because Paul is the only one that's mentioned in the Bible where he is the author of 13 of the New Testament books that we know of. And plus it's one that it don't have no one's name on it. And that's Hebrew, the book of Hebrews. I believe Paul also had helped to write that because of the son of the things that the book of Hebrews talks about.
I believe the 2016,
and we haven't got through yet. We just in the middle of 2016. We're in the middle of the harvest season. We are in the middle of planting. We are in the middle of sowing the seed for that the farmer is looking to. We are in the middle of the season and taking the seed of faith and apply it to the things of God. Is there a preacher? I don't believe a thing you said. It's okay. I don't believe it either. What I say, but I do believe God, what he says. Because what I say, it doesn't count. But what he says, it does. What he says, it goes. I can't change it. I can't change the way somebody gets saved. I can't change it the fact that the Lord is going to take you and an individual that's a drunkard and all of that, and then allow them to keep on doing that. That's not the kind of God that I serve. That's not the kind of God that you serve. If that was the kind of God that we served, none of us, no one here would be here tonight. This church would not even be established. But it was established. How was it established? On him. On him. We're supposed to be building up the kingdom of God. And where does the kingdom of God come from? It comes from me and you. And the building up of his kingdom with the people that are lost. I've never, and if you know of somebody that has, they didn't get saved first. But an individual that truly got saved, I've never heard that they've ever regretted. They may not be in church all that time, They may not be in church every service, but that's not their fault. I'm not going to put the blame on them, because it's not. It's my fault. It's the Christian's fault. Why? Because we did not take them when he got saved. We didn't take them and we didn't talk to them. We didn't talk to them about the scripture. We didn't talk to them about this and that. We need to let people know that we want to be a friend to them. We need to let people know that, hey, Brother Marty, Lord put you on my heart this week. And if you're not working, I'll come and pick you up and we'll go to parties or some dining. And I'll buy you some lunch or I'll buy you some breakfast or whatever you want to eat. Hey, that means something to them. That means something to them. I mean, people are hurting. People don't know what to believe anymore. They don't know whether they can trust the Lord or not. Seriously. They don't know if they can trust the Lord. Why? Because everything that they've been told, you'll have this denomination and tell them this, and you'll have another denomination and tell you that. It says if you don't come, if you don't join our church, and if you don't be baptized, and if you don't take communion every service, you don't join the church, you're not going to heaven. Hey, you can have your name on every church that there is in the United States of America. And you can even have the tadpoles right here that knows your name still in dying go to hell. Still dying go to hell. I don't want nobody to go to hell. Do you? Do you? I don't. And it tells me one thing, that I need to get busy. I know I've complained a lot here lately because of my health. I can't walk. I say I can't drive no more. My wife won't let me. But I'm sorry, she's going to start having to take me around. But I've got to go. I've got to do something. Brother Bill, you come on. Does everyone stand? All heads bowed and eyes closed. Open the book of Titus in chapter 3, I think it is. It says right there that we must be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be looking and expecting that blessed hope that we have in Him. That's the only thing that we have. Know so salvation. We can know that we're saved by the grace of God. We can also have the hope that we can depend on Jesus to lead and guide us and direct us in the way that we need to go. Brother Bill?
Page 251, almost persuaded. 251.
Huh? I know.